Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Ruski Perlevat Buddhat Tam, если вы хотите, если нет, нет проблем. Здесь будет только английский. So, we are reading today from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 31. Narada instructs the Prachetas, Text 24. Yes. Te pi tan mukha niryatam yasho loka malapaham harer nishamya tat padam jayantas tad gatim yayo te pitan mukha niryatam yasho loka malapaham harer nisham yatat padam jayantas tad gatim yayo te pitan mukha niryatam yasho loka malapaham harer nisham yatat padam jayantas tad gatim yayo te pitan mukha niryatam yasho loka malapaham harer nisham yatat padam dhyayantas tad gatim yayo te the prachetas api also tat of Narada mukha from the mouth niryatam gone forth yasha glorification loka of the world mala sins apaham destroying hare of Lord Hari, Nishamya, having heard, Tat, of the Lord, Padam, feet, Dhyayanta, meditating upon, Tat Gatim, unto his abode, Yayo, went. Translation. Hearing from Narada's mouth the glories of the Lord, which vanquish all the ill fortune of the world, the Prachetas also became attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Meditating on his lotus feet, they advanced to the ultimate destination. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here it is seen that by hearing the glories of the Lord from a realized devotee, the Prachetas easily attain strong attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, meditating on the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord at the end of their lives, they advance to the ultimate goal, Vishnu Loka. It is sure and certain that anyone who always hears the glories of the Lord and thinks of his lotus feet will reach that supreme destination. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 18:65, Manmana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru mame vaishyasi satyam te pratijane priyosi me. Always think of me and become my devotee. Worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this because you are my very dear friend. Tepitan mukhanir yatam yasho loka malapaham harir nisham yatat padam dhyayantas tad gatim yayu. Hearing from Narada's mouth the glories of the Lord, which vanquish all the ill fortune of the world, the Prachetas also became attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Meditating on his lotus feet, they advanced to the ultimate destination. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschitya Dejatarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Yes, so the Prachetas have been hearing from Narada Muni all sorts of very nice instructions about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here Maitreya is continuing and making the point that because they heard in that way without deviation, and because Narada, the person they heard from, was a fully realized soul, so highly, fully qualified in Krishna consciousness, then the result of all that was that they progressed, first of all, they advanced, and in due course, they advanced to the supreme destination. They all went back to Godhead, or they all attained completely pure, unalloyed devotional service to the Lord, the perfection of life. So the process is so powerful, as stated here, that loka malapaham, the process of hearing the glories of the Lord, is so powerful that it can vanquish, Prabhupada translates, vanquish all the ill fortune of the world. It is a total panacea, you could say. The whole process is, of course, but particularly within the process, that particular part of hearing the glories of the Lord, particularly from a great devotee like Narada Muni or great devotee like Srila Prabhupada, That part of the process is really most extremely powerful, most extremely important and essential, actually. And if it's really done properly, then in and of itself, it has the potency to vanquish all the ill fortune of the world and of the individual, of the devotee who hears that wonderful pure sound vibration. So in and of itself, hearing the glories of the Lord has that potency to bring one to the perfectional stage. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Sanatana Goswami is instructed by Lord Chaitanya, and Lord Chaitanya there lists out the 64 processes of devotional service, 64 different types of devotional activities, the last five of which Lord Chaitanya emphasizes as being particularly effective, particularly powerful, and particularly beneficial. Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtan, Bhagavat Shravan, Maturavas, Srimurtir, Shradaya Sevan. Incidentally, if you don't really understand English, the Russian translation is there. Ruski Perevot Vontam. So, yes. So Lord Chaitanya speaks this to Sanatana Goswami in the 22nd chapter of the Madhya Lila, and these particular processes, these five, he says, they are so exceptional, even amongst the other activities, that he says just a little bit of any one of them, even if it's performed not so nicely, not so expertly, even if it's performed without real faith, but as long as it's performed without offenses, then any one of those activities has the potency that it may bring a person immediately to the level of bhava, practically immediately to the level of bhava, which basically means the perfect stage of devotional service. Of course, we emphasize Krishna prema, prema pumarto mahan, that Krishna prema is the great, great goal of life, the greatest goal of life, and the greatest part of perfection, but still bhava is part of perfection. It is not part of something less than perfection. It's just there's perfect, more perfect, most perfect, that sort of idea. Most perfect, then there's even more most perfect. Most perfect. Mostest, most perfect. And it's unlimited, really. But definitely there are different stages of perfection. And just because one stage is a lower part, so to speak, of perfection, doesn't mean that it's not part of perfection. It is. So bhava is part of perfection. And that's what Lord Chaitanya says there in the Madhya Lila to Sanatana Goswami, that just a little bit of any one of these activities, even if performed without faith, but as long as it's done without offenses, may bring a devotee immediately to the level of bhava. And in regard to hearing the glories of the Lord, which is the particular activity being presented here and emphasized here, Srila Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in order to glorify and really give a clear appreciation of all of those five activities, Rupa Goswami has composed a particular verse for each one to really bring out the essence of its essential and wonderful, wonderful nature. So, hearing the glories of the Lord, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna Katha, Srila Rupa Goswami gives very interesting type of glorification, as he does with one or two others. He apparently criticizes it, but actually, by this particular type of quote-unquote criticism, he is really bringing out the glory of it, the potency of it, and how wonderful it is. So the translation, at least, of that verse about hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, hearing the glories of the Lord, it's in the context that some materialistic person is speaking to his friend, who's also a materialistic person, and they're both really, like, you know, very enthusiastic materialists. And the one who's addressing the other one, he is saying, he's basically warning him, don't hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Watch out. Just you be careful. So, first of all, he says to his friend, he says, My dear foolish friend, I think you have been hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. You know what? And of course, you know, it's just implicit in that there must be some reason why the person speaking thinks his dear foolish friend has been hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, which in the context of how he's presenting it, the speaker feels is foolish. There must be some symptoms. And as we mentioned, as Lord Chaitanya said, to hear or to be engaged in any one of those five activities, even a little without faith, etc., it may bring a person to the level of bhava. And bhava is quite noticeable by its symptoms. When devotees are not so advanced, it may be difficult to pinpoint what is their stage of advancement in terms of the different levels from Shraddha to Prema. And even they may go up and down and be on one stage at one point and another stage a matter of minutes later, or even a combination of stages. So, but bhava, if someone comes to the level of bhava, that is not so easy to mistake. It's really quite something outstanding and really extremely prominent. So in other words, implicit in this, the first part of this verse, that my dear foolish friend, I think you have been hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Implicit in that is that his dear foolish friend is showing some symptoms of bhava, which could be, you know, there are different symptoms, but for example, it could be that he's now, although generally previously he was not, but now he may be very actively engaged in some devotional activity unexpectedly. Previously he would never do that, but now he's very busily engaged in some Krishna conscious activity, or perhaps he's suddenly become very renounced Previously he was not, but now some symptoms of really quite major renunciation have appeared in his character. Or something like that. Maybe he's become extremely tolerant or perseverant. Or even it could be some emotional symptom. But there are symptoms. And in the statement, the person speaking obviously must have observed something. Otherwise, why would he just surmise, just assume that you must have been hearing Srimad Bhagavatam? Yeah. Shri Shri Krishna Balaram Shri Shri Radha Sham Sunda Shri Shri Gornitai Kijai. Yeah. So these symptoms of bhava are extremely powerful. It's not just like a little bit of a renunciation or a little bit of attachment to chanting. It's something very, quite dramatic, actually. And this person unexpectedly is showing that. You know, just like sometimes a person, someone who has drunk some liquor, the effects of that are also quite noticeable. But sometimes someone who has drunk some liquor, if he's confronted, you've been drinking, then he may say, no, not me. I haven't been drinking, just before he collapses on the ground or something. So, you know, the symptoms are quite noticeable. So anyway, Rupa Goswami, in that verse, he says, my dear foolish friend, I think you have been hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Because obviously some, you know, prominent symptoms must unexpectedly have arisen in that person. But then the verse goes on, if you hear the 10th canto, oh, I don't know what's going to happen to you. You know, you're bad enough now. You've foolishly been hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, and something pretty substantial has come over you. But now if you hear the 10th canto, you are finished. We will just have to carry you out. Or, you know, your whole life will just be turned upside down and around, and just, you know, your previous material life will be finished. So devotees, bear that in mind. Be careful. Do we know what we are dealing with here? It's very powerful. It's extremely powerful. And it has the power to transform a person, even sometimes at least, on the spot, immediately, from quite material condition to a very Krishna conscious condition, practically like that. It may do that. You know, it's in a similar vein at least, although slightly different example, but similar idea. When Lord Chaitanya, in the later stages of his pastimes in Jagannath Puri, during the nights, he would sometimes escape. He would be locked in his room in the Gambira, locked in from the outside, and there was only that one entrance. So he'd be locked in because he would, if he was able to get out, and there was no one to watch him and monitor him and follow him, he might just do anything and go anywhere and just disappear. So they would lock him in. But Chaitanya Charitamrita describes, one night he got out and he went running around looking for Krishna. Just completely, totally overwhelmed, looking for Krishna. And he ran down to the sea and he thought it was the Yamuna. So he just dived in thinking, it's the Yamuna, I'll find Krishna there. But then he got washed away by the sea at Jagannath Puri. The sea, for any of you who are a little familiar with the sea is moving northwards up the coast. So Lord Chaitanya got swept by the sea just gradually over a period of some hours up the coast to the north. And somewhere up there, there was a fisherman in the middle of the night, and he was using a net, casting a net out into the sea, into the surf, or somehow casting it out there, and then pulling the net in and catching fish that way. And he happened to catch Lord Chaitanya. And Lord Chaitanya was in such a condition, such an extreme condition, perhaps even by his own standards, which were very extreme. His arms and legs had retracted into his body, into his torso, and his head somehow, yeah, maybe also something like that. So in other words, he looked very extraordinary. Certainly didn't look like a human being. And it was the middle of the night. And this fisherman, you know, he could see, I've caught something big here and something very unusual, very strange. So he pulled Lord Chaitanya in onto the beach and in the darkness, trying to figure out, what did I catch? He went and touched Lord Chaitanya. And immediately, symptoms of bhava overpowered him. Immediately, his body just started shaking uncontrollably in ecstasy. Tears just started pouring from his eyes. His body, his voice started stammering and shaking, and it was really something extraordinary. And being just an ordinary person, at least externally, he couldn't understand what happened. What was it? And he thought, I caught a ghost. And I have now, seeing I touched the ghost, I've been possessed by the ghost. Wow, I've really got a big problem. So he ran. He just ran, panicking, back down the beach towards Jagannath Puri, which was some distance away to the south. And as he's running, on a conscious level, he is aware. You know, his mind, in other words, his mind has not become infused with Krishna consciousness. These are physical symptoms which have overcome him. So he was in great anxiety. I've been possessed by a ghost. I need an exorcist. So he's running down the beach. And now by this time, it's very early morning. The sun's beginning to rise. And the devotees, associates of Lord Chaitanya, they had discovered that Lord Chaitanya had got out and now he's disappeared. So all the devotees went out different directions to search for Lord Chaitanya. And Swarup Damodar Goswami and a group of devotees, they went up the beach because Lord Chaitanya had done that sort of thing previously, dived into the ocean and been swept away. So they went up the beach. And who should they come across but this fisherman running down the beach, exhibiting all these symptoms and collapsing and body shaking and etc., etc. And Swarup Damodar Goswami thought, aha, I think we have discovered Lord Chaitanya, at least a lead, an important lead. So this fisherman approached Swarup Damodar Goswami and this group of devotees and explained what happened. And he said, you know, I caught this ghost and I touched him and all these things came upon me. I'm possessed. I need an exorcist. And Swarup Damodar Goswami said, well, it is your lucky day. I happen to be a big exorcist. Anyway, we're not really aware of what happened to the fisherman after that. If the whole, you know, if he really became a devotee, but the devotees found Lord Chaitanya shortly afterward. Yes. So, this sort of contact with the Lord through these different devotional activities, and particularly hearing about the Lord, they're all very exceptional, and hearing about the Lord is most exceptional. Srila Prabhupada would say, there is a direct channel, a direct line from the ears to the heart. So in other words, you hear, whatever you hear actually, anything you hear, but particularly transcendental sound vibration, if you really hear it nicely, and if it really has that transcendental quality, it's not some mixed sound vibration, but coming from a pure source, then it goes straight to the heart. An immediate impact is there. And transformation, big transformation, can be there very quickly. So like that, very direct connection. The other senses, of course, they're also connected. We engage our senses, Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam. We engage our senses in the service of Rishikesh, the master of the senses. Our senses become purified. But there's special character to the sense of hearing and to engaging the sense of hearing in hearing about Krishna, and particularly from very good sources. Direct link. Just like, whereas if you hear from someone who's not on that level, and particularly if you hear from people who are really contaminated, and it's all just, you know, just a big mishmash, and the transcendental nature is not really prominent, it's very mixed, then it may even have a bad effect, as we know, that to hear the holy names of the Lord from an offensive person, it has an effect like drinking milk which has been touched by the lips of a serpent. It has a poisonous effect. Yata sarpa, sarpa, yata paya. If that milk has been touched by the lips of a sarp, of a snake, of a serpent, then it has drastic poisonous effects. So the quality, the qualification of the source from whom one is hearing, it's an important consideration. Yeah, just like you may have heard, I'm sure many of you have heard, it is a joke, but it's a good joke, that the temple president from Krishna Balaram Temple, Vrindavan, happened to be in Rome. It's a joke, don't worry. And somehow he ended up visiting the Vatican and visiting the Pope. And on the Pope's desk, he saw this big red telephone. And he asked him, "What's this big red telephone?" And the Pope said, "Direct line up there to him, God." And so the devotee said, "Oh, could I make a call to Krishna, to God?" And the Pope said, "Okay, but bear in mind, it's long distance. It's very expensive, $100 a minute." So devotee made a call to Krishna. Don't worry, it's a joke. Don't forget that. To Krishna. And Krishna was asking, "How's the Sankirtan movement going?" And 1 minute, $100 he had to pay. Then the Pope later came to India. A few years ago, the previous Pope, I think, was here. And the devotee, temple president from here, gave him his card. And the Pope thought, "Hey, let me go and visit my friend, the temple president from ISKCON, Vrindavan." So he came and went into the president's office. And sure enough, there was a big red telephone. And the Pope said, "Oh, you got one of them also?" And devotee said, "Yeah, direct line." Pope said, "Can I make a call?" "Go ahead, no problem." Pope made a call, and Krishna told him, "You know, are you still allowing so much nonsense? You don't allow women to be priests. What are you people up to?" You know, he chastised him a little. And he hung up, and he said, "How much?" Now, that was a couple of minutes. Must have been a couple of $100. And the devotee said, "No, don't worry about it. It's free. Don't worry about it." And the Pope said, "How could it be? It's such a long-distance call. Must be very expensive." And the devotee said, "No, no, no. In Vrindavan, it's just a local call." Anyway, it's just a little joke. But still, the point is there. If you really hear from the right sources, the right things, then, oh, it can transform. Even someone who is, like, extremely degraded. There's the story of Valmiki meeting Narada Muni. He was extremely degraded. He was really a most terrible person. But he got instruction from the same Narada Muni who's been speaking here to the Prachetas, and it transformed him, basically, literally on the spot. Yeah, major transformation came. Mrigari the hunter. Mrigari the hunter. Same sort of situation. Again, Narada Muni. Another very degraded and vicious person, just terrible condition. But a little hearing from great devotee, transcendental sound vibration, Mrigari the hunter became completely transformed into a great devotee. The prostitute who came to try to drag down Haridas Thakur, she just heard his chanting for some hours. Even she fell asleep. And she woke up the next morning. He was still chanting. He had promised that when I finish my rounds, then we can enjoy together. She woke up in the morning, he was still chanting, and she asked him, "You mean you haven't finished yet?" And he said, "No, no, I finished. That was yesterday's rounds. Now I'm on today's. So just be patient, sit down and listen, and I'll be finished in a little while." And she was listening, sitting and listening and hearing. And it was not really, I mean, she had a sort of element of piety in her character to some degree. But it was not like devotees hearing from some very advanced devotee like Narada Muni or Haridas Thakur. She was just hearing. But still it transformed her also on the spot. At least over a period of some hours, she became a different person. So these are some examples, and of course there are many examples of how this works, hearing from the right sources. In our case, well, of course we have Narada Muni speaking in Srimad Bhagavatam and Prabhupada somewhere in the earlier cantos, Srila Prabhupada, in one purport, to a verse in a chapter where Narada Muni is speaking, I think it may be the fifth chapter of the first canto, actually. Prabhupada makes the point, we would like to thank Narada Muni for appearing in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah. And we would like to thank Narada Muni also, but we would particularly like to thank Srila Prabhupada for giving us this Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, all his lectures, etc., etc. Because now we have the opportunity to hear the same transcendental message from someone like Narada Muni. And people like Narada Muni, one thing you must know, there are devotees and there are devotees, but devotees like Narada Muni, meaning like Srila Prabhupada, this is just something else. This is not just like the head of another Vaishnav organization or something like that. This is actually someone on the level of Narada Muni, and when you hear from Srila Prabhupada, if you hear nicely, then that exactly the same impact can happen. Can happen. Lord Chaitanya makes that point, that if you do those activities, as we mentioned, with even without faith but without offenses, then even one of them may bring you. Not that it will just bring everyone to the level of bhava just like that, but it may bring a person immediately to the level of bhava. Don't worry if you haven't come to the level of bhava yet. After chanting and associating and hearing and doing all those activities for many years, it is still having its effect. But there's also a problem, or you could say a consideration, in terms of how you hear. You have to hear the right thing from the right person. That has to be there. You know, not just some Bollywood version, or, you know, you get these different sort of, it's like Hindu pop. What is it? Radhe Radhe Japa Karo. Krishna Nama Rasa Pia Karo. Something like that. It's basically Hindu pop. Vraj Mandal style. That's essentially what it is. So the qualification, the nature of the speaker, the chanter, that's an essential consideration. But then you, the hearer, you have to hear clearly. You know, we have the mind. Every one of us has a mind. And the mind speaks, the inner voice. And the mind speaks a lot about a lot of different things. The mind is a character. And there is the inner ear, the sense of hearing. Anyway, yeah, the sense of hearing is, you know, a slightly complex sense, and your sense of hearing may be engaged by your mind. You may possibly have had the experience, maybe even today. You were trying to chant your rounds, and of course you know that you should chant them nicely and be very attentive and so on. You may have heard that so many times, but still, even today, you may have been chanting, but your inner voice, it was also operational. Your inner voice was talking, and your inner ear was listening, and that was really where your consciousness was. Your awareness was more given to your mind, even though the chanting was going on and sometimes you'd hear it. And did you ever have such an experience? So this is a very important consideration, that to make the whole process complete, the chanter has to be of the right, to the right standard, but the hearer has to really hear. Otherwise, like we said, there's this channel from the ear to the heart. If your mind is now thinking about this and that, and actually your attention is given to that, it is as if you have blocked the channel. Well, it's basically literally like you've blocked the channel from the ear to your heart. There is a blockage, and the sound vibration is there. It's trying to go in, but it's getting caught by the blockage. And as a result, it's not really reaching the heart. And as a result, the transformation is not really taking place. At least, certainly not like Lord Chaitanya said it can take place. So therefore for ourselves, the to hear from the right sources, which basically means hear from Srila Prabhupada and those who are actually following Srila Prabhupada and not just some others. You know, Vrindavan is such a colorful place, full of colorful people with colorful ideas about Krishna consciousness. It's amazing. So there's all sorts of wrong people you can hear from. We should hear from Srila Prabhupada and those who are actually following Prabhupada, which excludes those who say they're following Prabhupada, but you know, if you have a reasonable idea what it means to follow Prabhupada, then you understand that they're not actually following Prabhupada. We have to hear from the right people, but then we have to actually hear from them. We have to actually hear. And then that sound vibration, powerful sound vibration, will just go to the heart. And then it can even be on the spot today. Literally today, major transformation can take place in your heart. Literally, with no exaggeration or anything of that sort. So, well, we should try to do that. Hear from the right source, but really hear. So this is something we need to work on, cultivate. And of course, it's becoming recognized, and it has been recognized in ISKCON more and more over the last so many years, and therefore we have different programs where devotees focus on these things. But we should understand, you know, we should not, it's nice to serve Krishna a lot and enthusiastically, but we should not just become Krishna conscious workaholics. We should become Krishna conscious and then really serve on the basis of being Krishna conscious, having actually heard nicely. So the Prachetas did that, and Prabhupada says in the purport, they easily attained strong attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Easily. Strong attachment. And then, meditating, being focused on the lotus feet of the Lord, they went back to Godhead. They perfected their lives, achieved Krishna prema. Let us follow in their footsteps. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Is there time for a question or should we finish? Okay. Ek prashna. Is there any question? There's a question. I don't know. Pass it down as quickly as possible. Switch the switch.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Maharaj. With one of the five processes you mentioned, it says residing in Mathura. Why Mathura and not Vrindavan?
Well, it's a generic. The basic idea is we should live in a holy place. Actually, if we sort of get slightly technical about it, Mathura, Vrindavan, it's the same area. Mathura, Vrindavan. Just Mathura, Rupa Goswami is preaching, Lord Chaitanya is preaching by presenting all those different processes. And Mathura is a very famous place of pilgrimage. So, practically anyone in the whole country, even today, if you say, oh yeah, Mathura, they'll immediately understand, oh yes. But yes, so it's in a generic sense. You can turn your own house, flat in another part of the world into a holy place by having deities and pictures and Krishna conscious programs and so on. That's the principle. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Okay. One other. Just pass the microphone forward, please. Up here, this way. Switch it on.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Sir, as it is described in Canto 6 in the Ajamil case, that chanting of the holy name, whether knowingly or not knowingly, it extinguishes the offenses that even a man can imagine of. So when we keep on chanting, does it not include the potential to extinguish the offenses when heard from the unauthorized sources that accumulate in the heart? If you keep on chanting, does it not extinguish as a fire setup, knowingly or unknowingly, burns the grass to ashes?
Okay.
So doesn't it reconcile in this case that we should keep on chanting, even though sometime heard from unauthorized source, but if you keep on doing this, it fixes the problem?
Okay. Yeah. Well, the thing is, there's a couple of considerations. One is, it depends how unauthorized. If it's really like super unauthorized, like by some nonsense people in a nonsense context, then according to, it's actually Padma Purana is being quoted by Rupa Goswami in Bhaktirasamrita Sindhu. If the source is really bogus enough, it may actually have a detrimental, like a severely detrimental effect like, kill your spiritual life. But then another consideration is that the more you hear from the good sources, the authorized sources, the quicker the process is. And we should have a sense of urgency in our Krishna consciousness and not just think that, well, you know, if I kind of carry on sort of in Krishna consciousness to some degree. Well, you know what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9:30, apichet sudaracharo. You know, it's not too bad. And I can take birth my next lifetime as a devotee and carry on. So if I hear some Bollywood, I don't know who it is, but Om Shanti Om, something chanting Hare Krishna, then it's okay. It's not too bad. But, you know, devotees should have a sense of urgency for different reasons. One is that the goal is so worthwhile to achieve. Oh, we should achieve it without delay. Another problem, another point is that if you do delay, if you're not careful and, you know, try to do things properly and maximize the opportunities for your progress, if you are lackadaisical and like that, then you can make a serious mistake, which can set you back very badly. The example, or one example, is Bharat Maharaj. You know, Ajamil is one thing. He was not committing offenses. So therefore, even though, you know, obviously his position was a nonsense position, but he was chanting, but without offenses. Bharat Maharaj, his situation was different. He actually, Jiva Goswami explains in Bhakti Sandarbha, that Bharat Maharaj, the reason he became attracted to the deer was the result, as a result of previous offenses he committed. And we don't know what they were, but Jiva Goswami does make the point that we should understand that there must have been, because he was on the level of bhava, means perfect devotional service. The beginning of perfect devotional service, but still perfect devotional service. Yeah. And because of offenses, he became bewildered and, you know, he lost a lot of time. He had to go through being a deer. And then he was Jad Bharat, and it was all a very difficult situation. So we don't want to take that risk. Therefore, it behooves us, you know, for our own benefit. We should do our real best. Sadhu Sangha, keep in good association. Srila Prabhupada and his real followers. Nama Kirtan, really try to chant the holy names, even if our efforts are lacking, you know, even often lacking, but still we should keep trying. And Bhagavat Shravan, really try to hear. And when the Bhagavatam class comes, or when we're reading Prabhupada's books, really try and take it in. And Mathura Vas, really try and stay, make our own home a holy place, Krishna conscious place, and don't go and mix in the wrong places with the wrong people, and engage in deity worship nicely. So if we're attentive in how we apply ourselves to these activities, if we really try to be as attentive as we can, then we will progress reasonably rapidly. But otherwise, you know, there are many challenges. And if you're not careful, some challenge can just knock you down and out for some time. And who wants that? Okay, we'll finish here. Srila Prabhupada ki.